prophecy deep in his gut, and his lips itched with the need to speak. Long before he stood in the halls of the king, the shadows of firelight dancing across the stone walls. Long before he advised kings and priests and prophets and peasants, Jonah, son of Amittai, was just a kid. And like many young children, he greedily sought to know and understand things that burned at the edges of his mind. He sought to know and understand bits of information that felt somehow wrong for boys to know and understand. Jonah craved that heart-racing, nightmare-inducing thrill of fear. And nothing brought more fear and horror and excitement than whispers of the Assyrians. As a child, it was easy for Jonah to separate stories from reality. Tales of heads on pikes and rivers of blood were just stories, fantastical stories. Only as Jonah grew into adolescence would he hear the deep sorrow and disgust that colored every mention of the Assyrians on the lips of his parents and relatives and merchants in the streets and strangers passing by. Jonah grew into adulthood influenced by this collective memory of death and torture and slavery at the hands of the kings of Assyria and their unquenchable lust for violence and power. In 2 Kings 14, 23 through 27, we discover that Jonah lived during the reign of Jeroboam II. Despite continuing in the sins of his father, Jeroboam restored the boundaries of Israel from Beth Hamath to Lebo to the Dead Sea. As a king, Jeroboam was a successful ruler who expanded Israel's control over the lands that were once governed by King David's son, Solomon. It was Jonah, the son of Amittai, who God chose as his prophet. It was Jonah who declared that Jeroboam would expand Israel's borders. But even in this season of prosperity and victory for Israel, how could they forget their suffering at the hands of the Assyrians? The kings of Assyria, they wouldn't let them forget their place as victims. In the 7th century, one of the kings of Assyria inscribed in stone these words: "I felled 50 of their fighting men with the sword, burnt 200 captives from them, and defeated in battle on the plain 332 troops. With their blood I dyed the mountains red like wool, and the rest of them the ravines and torrents of the mountains swallowed. I carried off captives and possessions from them. I cut off the heads of their fighters, and I built a tower of human heads before their city. I burned their adolescent boys and girls." Even in this season of peace for Israel, how could they forget the blood of their fathers and mothers and grandparents and grandfathers and grandmothers that soaked the earth beneath their feet? It is in this world, in a world where an evil king rules Israel, but the nation prospers. It is in this world where the spark of power is fading fast in Assyria, and the nation is struggling to combat enemies from all sides. It is in a world where Israel, the Lord's chosen people, once victims, are finally feeling safe in the land promised to their ancestors. It is in this world that the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up, go to Nineveh, that great metropolis, and condemn it because their evil has ascended before me. Jonah is told to cross Israel's newly expanded borders and preach in Nineveh, one of the founding cities of the Assyrian Empire. What? For Jonah, the sensible thing, the obvious thing, I would dare say the right thing, would to be to stay in Israel where things are finally looking up for the people of God and leave Assyria to face her own impending destruction. But to stay and continue to proclaim prosperity for Israel is not the word of the Lord imparted to Jonah. To leave the people of Nineveh to die at the hands of another stronger, more powerful empire feels like divine justice, does it not? But that is not the word of the Lord imparted to Jonah. Instead, the word of the Lord to Jonah begs us to consider timeless questions. What is divine justice? What is divine mercy? And how do the two interact, justice and mercy? How can God be the God of his people and still recklessly pursue every living thing on this earth? I invite you to consider this world, the world that lives just beneath the pages of Scripture. I invite you to consider our world, our circumstances. I invite you to ask big, timeless questions. I invite you to feel this text. I invite you to hear the word of the Lord that came to Jonah.
The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods to help, and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused this terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for Jonah had told them that he was already running from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do this?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors rowed as even harder to get the ship to land, but the stormy seas were too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea. And the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths. I sank down to the heart of the sea, and the mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you've driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, the waters closed over me, seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates lock shut forever. But you, Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne. He took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap, and he sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn away from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. The Lord replied, Is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. And the Lord arranged for a leafy plant to grow there. And it soon spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning, at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, Is it right that you be angry because this plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, You feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. Nineveh has has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness who don't know their right from their left. Not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city?